Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Let's Get Pixelated, the Pixel Enemy Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Esposito, and this is the episode for the week of April 14th, 2013. Some quick housekeeping. If you guys have noticed, when you go to pixelenemy.com, which you all should be doing every day, there is now a podcast tab on the main site, so you can just click that, and every episode of the show so far and in the future will be there, and then once you click on the show, it'll direct you to the iTunes link, which I also recommend you guys do. You can just subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, so whenever there's a new episode or like a Pixel preview like Will and I did for Defiance, or any audio file that Pixel Enemy puts up, it'll just shoot to your iOS device, which is always nice. Also,
we're armed.
Yeah. Also, next week is going to be our Bioshock discussion, so we're going to talk about everything Bioshock, you know, what we liked about the game, what we didn't like about the game, we're going to make sense of the ending and everything, so we're just giving some of the staff another week to finish the game, and then next week we'll debate that game and just, you know, dive deep into there, because it'll be all Bioshock all the time. Pero, there's a lot of news in El Industrio de Videojuego, so to help me break that down, we got an expert panel. An expert panel. I mean, guys, I don't know what you guys listen to, but this is an expert panel today. First, we got the teach himself, Rob. How you doing?
Good morning from sunny Singapore.
Then, we got the best of the West, Alex. How you doing, big guy?
Hey, everyone. I don't know if you like basketball or not, but I guess you don't.
I love basketball. The Knicks played a great game yesterday. They went into overtime against the Bulls. They got their 13-game winning streak snapped, but yep. It's better to lose now than because they will make the playoffs. I think they're going to look at Boston probably in the first round, so hopefully we can get by them. I hate the Celtics. And then, you guys heard him already, the man from Manhattan, William.
Hi.
Yeah, so, like I said, there's a lot to talk about, so let's get into it with Around the Horn. And let's start with the man from Manhattan, Williams. How's everything going, big guy? What have you been playing? How's life? What's up?
It's going good. It's actually been, you know, for the first time we actually felt spring this week, which was amazing. I think it was on Tuesday and Wednesday we got temperatures in the 70s, and then Wednesday was good, and then today was just total shit. I'm freezing myself over here, so I have a nice sweater on and everything. But
oh man, we had for some reason I'm in Georgia right now, and for some reason whenever it rains, it always comes with a tornado warning and a watch because you know warm air comes up from Florida and all there, and then whenever a cold front comes, you know warm and cold air make tornadoes. Science lesson. So yeah, every time it freaking rains, my phone beeps and it's like boop, boop, and I hate that sound, you know, like that emergency broadcast sound, and they're like, oh shit, dude, this is a level 5 tornado. It has a funny name too, it's like Torcons or something. We're giving this tornado warning 7 out of 10 on the Torcon. You guys better get into your basement. And I'm just over here looking up GIFs on Reddit. I'm like, oh man. I don't know. And then I was watching, we were actually going to play some All-Stars and get some stuff done, but Will was finishing up Bioshock, and then right when we were about to play, all my power went out, and I was like, damn it! But yeah, so yeah, weather-wise, that's it. But other than the weather, what games have you been playing?
I just finished Bioshock Infinite. I'm not going to say anything, of course. We'll wait until next week's podcast for that, but oh man, I don't understand that ending at all. That's all I'm gonna say. But
yeah, it's really good. What else?
I got Walking Melee earlier this week. I started playing it. Oh, it's funny. It's funny. I realized that about half an hour in, like I noticed I'm in the second town and you see these posters up in the town.
Memes.
I saw
memes
this
everywhere.
One for the Grumpy Cat. And then one for one of the troll phases, and it's like, wow, these guys know what memes are.
One of my favorite is right outside one of the buildings is the IKEA monkey. For those of you guys that don't know, there was a monkey, and he was like wearing this like big like trench coat, and he just walked into IKEA. I forgot where it was. It might have been in Canada.
Toronto.
Yeah. So Yeah, and it's just this monkey's just walking around, hanging out, and everybody's like, is that a monkey with a coat on? Which is awesome. I don't know. I would have flipped my shit if I saw that, because I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. But yeah, the game's littered with those memes and other video game references. I also played through Guacamelee, and I reviewed it for the site, and the review's already live, so go check that out. I really liked the game. But yeah, the memes integration is really cool. But then just also, like, you know, how you get your power-ups is the Metroid statue.
Right, and yeah.
There's Mario references. There's actually a great Journey reference that's later on in the game. But it's, you know, it's surprisingly a deep game. And it's fun, and it's challenging. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I just like a challenge in games. And towards the end of that game, combat never really gets too hard. But towards the end of the game, some of the platforming sections where you have to mix in your powers, there's a time shift mechanic that gets into play later. You have to switch dimensions and time as you're jumping platforms, and it gets pretty tough, which is pretty cool. But I agree, if you will, the charm of that game, you know, just the controls, it plays really smooth and great.
The soundtrack, I think, is a big highlight. It's so just addictive to listen to.
Yeah,
and the fighting is surprisingly deep. Like, it's not really a button masher. There are actual combos involved that you have to memorize.
Yeah, and the throwing mechanic's great too, where you can grab somebody, then that arrow pops up, and you have full directional control where you can throw them into other enemies and stuff. That's really cool.
Oh yeah, and I love that suplex.
Oh, the suplex is great. Also, for the listeners, that's why I did really butchered Spanish, because I knew we were going to talk about Guacamelee, and it's all about, you know, Hispanic culture and heritages and stuff. So,
way to offend half our Hispanic audience, guys.
Sorry about that, guys. I took Spanish in school, and then I switched to Japanese and minored in Japanese, which is a terrible idea. Guys, if you're in college, hopefully you're not minoring in Japanese. Stay away. Stay away. But
I studied Japanese for a year. Yeah, it was 1 year in university, and then a year, just about 2 years ago, I studied Japanese for a year.
Yeah, it's an amazing crazy language, and the culture's really cool. Yeah. And so if you're interested in that, definitely go for it. It's just a lot of work, because, you know, between there's hiragana, katakana, kanji, so you have to know what the words mean, and then you also know how to draw the symbols and all those, like I said, katakana and all that stuff. So, but it's super fun, and everybody I took the class with, like, wanted to be there, because if you guys are in college, you might know this, and each college is different, but they force you to take a language.
Yeah.
Which is good. I completely agree with that, because I think everybody should take another language, diversify yourself. So, yeah, I already did Spanish in high school, so I was like, fuck it, I'm taking Japanese. And it was 5 days a week, so 5 credits, and we had a quiz every day. And I was like, gosh. And then the oral exam at the end where they interview you, you get nervous. I mean, I got an A, though, and whenever you get an A in a 5-credit course, that really helps your GPA. So that's always a good thing. So Guacamelee, finished up Bioshock Infinite. I know we talked about it on the show last week about your Vita acquisition. What other Vita games are you playing?
I'm playing through Uncharted right now, actually.
Golden Abyss, right?
Yep, I got Golden Abyss. I'm playing through it right now. It's interesting. It's for an Uncharted game, it's somewhat lackluster. For an Uncharted game, you know, that's not to say it's bad.
Ben Studios?
Yeah, it's by Ben Studio, yeah.
Okay, yeah. They also went on to make an Uncharted card game for the Vita.
Yes, Fight for Fortune.
Fight for Fortune, yeah. I haven't checked that out yet, but maybe. Yeah, I like card games, so. So playing it, obviously it's not going to live up to a Naughty Dog PS3 version of Uncharted, but
For what it is, it's really good.
Yeah, they really just threw every touchscreen control for the Vita into that game. They're like, oh, this map is dirty. Rub it off, rub it off, rub it off, rub it off.
Hey, you want to climb this rope? Touch the back touchpad. Go, climb.
There was one cool thing that I liked, though, was there was like a hidden message, and they're like, hey, put this close to a light bulb, and it'll reveal the message.
Stupid.
So I put it up, and I'm like, this is so stupid, but it's awesome. So I just like put my Vita up to a light, and I'm like, okay. Oh, now it's dirty. Let's rub it.
Stupid. Yeah. But, at the end of the month, I'm really looking forward to Soul Sacrifice, so I'm going to get that in.
Oh, yeah, Soul Sacrifice.
Hopefully, if no one else gets it, I'm going to go ahead and review that game. So.
Yeah, that looks really cool. So, playing some Vita games. Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it, actually.
No, that's a good week right there. That's, yeah. That's a good week. Alex, what have you been up to this week? I know you went to Vegas. How was that?
Yeah, majority of my week I went to Vegas and lost a lot of money, but it was like, you know, just to have a good time relaxing.
What's your poison? What do you like to play there?
For me, I like to play Texas Hold'em because I actually feel like I have a chance.
Yeah, I love Texas Hold'em.
But really, you have no chance. You have no chance at all. But I've been like from Monday to Thursday. I've been away from my home. Haven't really had much time, but like I've been playing a little bit of the Injustice app, like the iOS game, which is actually pretty good.
Yeah,
it's actually like you can waste a little bit of time, just have some fun in there. And for me, like personally, I wasn't expecting much, and I don't even like consider myself an iOS gamer, but I don't know. Should be interesting to see if like other iOS ports have like, you know, console exclusives, because you can unlock like a Batman Beyond outfit.
That's what I love about it.
Ooh. So for me, like I've put in like maybe like 3 hours in, I've already unlocked most of like the core stuff that I probably want.
Some of them are tough to get though. Like one is like, I think it's the Batman Beyond costume. It's like just buy a Batman card, and that Batman card's like 180,000 gold, and I'm like, oh my god, you probably get like a couple thousand gold per battle, which is like 3 or 4 matches per battle. So, you know, I haven't played 3 hours, but yeah, you put a little hefty time into it, but that's awesome. Like Batman Beyond, that suit is awesome. So it'll be cool to unlock that in the real game. And like you said, it's just a fun diversion. You do it, and then like an hour later, a message pops up and it's like, hey, your team's energy is all charged. Get back in there. I'm like, okay. It's very tappy, if that makes sense. It's just, it's a lot of tapping, but I agree. It's cool and just a fun diversion. So, Vegas.
I actually got some time in like the last 2 days. Like I've been playing a little bit of, I finished Bioshock last week, been playing Guacamelee like everybody else. And it's pretty fun. I like the art style. Like if you've heard of Drinkbox Studios, the one that made, the platformer, I can't think what it's called, but they did a
Tales from Space,
Mutant Blobs Attack. Mutant Blobs and Attack.
Yep.
Which is probably one of my favorite PS Vita games.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Just because the way it uses the touchscreen, like, and it feels like a platformer. Like you feel so engaged, like how it uses the music and everything else. Probably the best platformer out there. And that game came out like the week it came out on the PS Vita. And I don't know, like, it's interesting to see how they evolve right now. Like, I don't know too much about Guacamelee, like, what to expect. But if it's anything like Metroid, like, where you, like, unlocks new stuff and, like...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, like, it should be interesting how, I probably played, like, an hour of it. But for me, like, I'm already enjoying, like, the art style and everything else.
Yeah, it's a really fun game.
Yeah, like I'm already seeing like how in depth the game really is with the combat and like even like the puzzle solving. Like it reminds me of like another like what was it? Little Big Planet, the PlayStation Vita port. Mm. Not the port, but the port's the wrong word, but the version for the PS Vita where it's just like, yeah, like that's one of my favorite games on the PS Vita. Man, I can't think what else I've been playing. I'm playing Tomb Raider, but...
That's awesome, yeah.
Yeah, but Tomb Raider is like... I don't know how I feel about Tomb Raider. Just because it has like the surroundings of a good game, and then all of a sudden it just kind of feels like it breaks down in the middle.
Yeah, the second act is the weakest part of it. Definitely, yeah. I agree with you. It picks up again, though.
I feel like I'm already like reaching the high points, and then like I can't really stand the voice actors at all.
Camila Luddington.
No, like, any of them.
Oh, all of them, yeah.
Yeah, all of them. And then, like, I can't stand, like, whenever it takes a break to, like, talk about the crew members.
Oh, yeah, they were all expendable.
I'm like, really, do I really need to know about this person? Like, why it's important to Laura?
Well, not only that, it's to that conceit when you play a video game. We talked about this on the show before. But, like, you know, when one of the crew members will eventually, like, or die, or, you know, and she cries, and she's like, oh my god, death, I hate death, it's so scary. And then you just go and beat the shit and kill, like, 30 people before the next cutscene.
Yeah, like, I reached that point. I'm like, okay, they're building up to something. And then, like, the second, like, Lara Croft kills somebody, like, that she kills, like, three other people, like without even thinking about it. It's like, okay, yeah. You build that all up, and then she's not gonna, like, you know, feel sorry about those two people. What does that say about the game, really?
For sure. But that would be a tough game to do, though, if you're, like, every kill, you have empathy for every kill. I mean, again, you know, The Walking Dead does it great because you really kill, like, maybe 10 zombies that whole game, and, like, half of them are in one segment, which is probably the worst part of the game, where it's, like, a first-person shooting, and you're like, ugh. But, yeah, I agree with you. Tomb Raider's second act's a little weak, but it picks up at the third. The only thing is, no, we'll discuss that next time when you finish it, because it's not a spoiler, but I'll just let you go into it without any, you know, reference to it. But those adventure games...
I already know, like, what happens at the end. I mean, like...
Okay, yeah, so adventure...
It's already, like, what was it, 2 months? And I'm like, well, I'm going to get exposed to it. Yeah, the same goes with the Dead Space 3 thing. I was like, I'm going to get exposed to it. Might as well hit me.
Yeah, I don't know why those adventure games lean on a mythical element, because all those types of games, like Uncharted, all the Uncharted games have a very supernatural element added to them at the end of the game. Like, the first one is, like, Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark with the tomb, and when he opened it, everybody dies and the ghosts come out. Two has the people that live forever, and three have those, like, demons that can teleport. And then Tomb Raider also is all about, you know, like, ancient rituals and magic, and I'm like, I know that it's I just feel like it's an easy way out, because
it's a cop out, basically.
I don't want to use the word cop out, because it's written okay. I mean, it's not like as soon as, like, there was a great
Tomb Raider's written really well at all, because it's paper. I think Lara Croft's development is paper thin. Like, I just don't
they tried to do it. But I'm just saying that the magic elements aren't as abrupt. Like, you can see that that's the direction the game is going through subtle hints. It's not like Quantic Dream, they made Heavy Rain, they're doing the new Beyond Two Souls. One of their first games was Indigo Prophecy, and halfway through Indigo Prophecy, out of nowhere, it's like aliens, magic.
Yeah, that was weird.
And you're like, what the fuck? Aliens, magic? I was like, I thought, what? That's a great game. If you guys haven't played Indigo Prophecy, track it down. It's actually an
original Xbox game. It's on Games on Demand, right?
I don't think it's on Games on Demand anymore.
That's like one of the first M-rated games I've ever played. I was like, whoa.
It's a great game. I know I have it for the original Xbox, and I know it works on the 360, so if you can find it on the original Xbox for pennies, you know, put it in. It's really, really cool. And you can see the evolutions of between that and Heavy Rain, which, I mean, again, that's another polarizing game, but I love Heavy Rain. One of my favorites. Cool. Okay, last Vegas question. Did you bet on any sports while you're there?
I bet on the Suns. Ooh. And I won because I bet by points, and they only lost by three. It was that whole goaltending thing where the player stuck his hand through the net and the player shot it, and it was like last second of the game. I'm like, okay, whatever. But
yeah, I'm stupid when I bet. I always do parlays, so that's three bets and you have to win all three.
Oh.
You know, sometimes I get lucky, but half the time. Hey, pixelenemy.com does not endorse gambling, guys, but if you're at Vegas,
For me, I had the choice. I had the choice of betting against the Suns, or betting with the Suns, betting with the women's championship game, or betting against the Lakers.
Oh my god, and I would have put my house on the women's championship game.
Yeah, like, because I was thinking about it, I was like, it was Louisville week that day, I was like, could it really happen? Like,
nah. Yeah, for sure, because Louisville was, you know, they upset,
they got teams. Smacked.
Yeah, but Connecticut's awesome, though, they're really good.
Yeah.
And Gino, I forgot the coach's last name, but
Ariama.
Yeah, he's 5-0 in championship games, and they don't even...
Isn't he 8-0 or something?
He's undefeated in championship games, which is awesome. And then the college championship ended with Louisville winning it all, which is great, because I don't know if you guys watched that Kevin Ware injury.
Don't even remind me of that.
I saw a recap of it. Oof.
He comes down and then bone just pops out, and you're like, this kid just died. I was like, but it looked so gruesome, and then, like, I was watching it with somebody, and she came over, and she's like, oh my god, don't show it again, don't show it again. But then, you know, modern medicine is incredible because they're like, oh, it's a pure break. He's fine. He's on crutches the next day and everything's good. He read David Letterman's top 10 list. I was like, that's awesome. And then they said he'll be able to play next year, which is super cool. But yeah, so Vegas and some good games. Okay, let's get to Teach. Teach, how you doing? What were you up to this week?
This week was our first week back at school for after 2 weeks off, so it was kind of a grind getting back into it. It was actually pretty hard. When you take some time off and then try to get back at full speed, oh, yeah. It takes a little while, and everybody else is kind of like pulling each other around, so it was okay. But didn't have a lot of time for games this week, but I started playing, because I finished The Cave, so I started again with three different characters.
Who are you playing this time?
Sorry?
Who are the three characters?
This time I'm playing as the monk, the adventurer, and the twins.
Okay, cool. Did you play the knight your first playthrough?
Yeah, I loved him. He was my favorite character.
Yeah, I want the knight. Because he's also, he's not cheap, but he helps you traverse so easily because he has that ability where he just, like, puts the shield around him. So you can just jump off ledges and be like, shield, whoop, and fall nicely.
Yeah, he's great. I think he was a good character. I went to if you go to the Double Fine, because I collect all this crap, on the Double Fine website, they sell miniature characters, sort of figures of all seven of them. So, so I ordered those, and then I ordered the Cave t-shirt or something like that as well.
Okay, so what I want to do here is, real quick, I want to ask you your thoughts on The Cave and your first playthrough, and then next week I want to come back and I want to ask you your thoughts on The Cave and your second playthrough, which you're doing through now. So, what are your thoughts on your first playthrough of The Cave? Like, how'd you like it?
Oh, I loved it. I know it didn't get a very good score, and people thought, scored it really low. They thought it was repetitive, but I don't know. I kind of knew what I was getting myself into. It didn't seem too far out of the realm of some of the adventure games from Double Fine, or from the early LucasArts stuff. It didn't seem too different to me. Same kind of sense of humor. That narration, reminded me of the narrator in Space Quest 4, whatever it was. But it was fine. I didn't have a problem with it at all. I liked the puzzles, actually. I liked walking around, and the graphics were great. And it was a really pretty game to look at, and it made me laugh a few times. So yeah, I had no problem with it at all.
Did
I liked
you use
it
the
a
time
lot.
Traveler?
Yeah, I did. She was my first character, and
what
the scientist
bitch.
As well.
What a bitch that time traveler was. Her puzzle was so hard.
Yeah, it wasn't super easy. The night one was kind of fun too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
That's not much else. I'm off to Japan on Tuesday or Wednesday. I think I'm going to Japan for about 4 days. So
awesome.
So I'm gearing up for some travel. Yeah. And then Australia next month. I travel a lot.
How
so.
Far is Japan from you?
7 hours.
Okay, that's not terrible.
Yeah, not too bad. It's only an hour. I think it's an hour back, or it's an hour ahead, actually. So, but I have been playing Far Cry 3 still, playing that a lot. And I've been thinking about starting playing Dishonored a bit more again because of the Knights of Dunwall trailer. Looks really good.
Have you seen the trailer for Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon?
Yeah, I've already pre-ordered it.
How
awesome. It looks great. Looks really good. Yeah, I can't wait to see that. Yeah.
God, I love the
And then movie-wise, I'm going to see Oblivion today at IMAX.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I saw it. Last night. What was it?
I'm not expecting too much, but I'm expecting it. It should look. It'll look really good.
Yeah. I've read lukewarm reviews about it.
No, it was good. It's definitely worth watching. It's we need more sci-fi movies because we don't have enough good ones.
Right.
So even though this one's probably like a 7 out of 10, it's still a good sci-fi movie because we don't have a lot of sci-fi movies. Except Morgan Freeman's my favorite actor, so the movie needed more Morgan Freeman. That's all it needs.
It wasn't until his publicist did that stupid AMA.
Oh my god, did you see that? What a conspiracy!
I know. The front page is covered in it today. You want to hear a conspiracy? Let me tell you about conspiracy. I was up last night till about 2 o'clock in the morning in Singapore time, arguing with some idiot mods on the R Gaming page because they. I posted. I don't know if you saw. Did you guys see what Phil Fish did? It was really funny. He tweeted 2 days ago. He tweeted. He's like. Bloggers who keep posting that Minecraft, make this, or I made this whatever in Minecraft, we get it, you can make stuff in Minecraft, please stop doing it, right? So then somebody took that tweet and made it in Minecraft. It was hilarious. It was really funny. So I got a copy of the picture that was on somebody's Twitter account. I posted it on Reddit, and it was like the fifth. It was like the fifth or sixth post on R Gaming. It was like front page. It had about 1500 or 1600 upvotes. It was going to the front page, right? And then all of a sudden it just disappeared. So I sent him an email and I said, hey guys, I said, not a big deal. I just curious what rule I violated. I mean, I've had stuff removed before and I don't really.
Give me my
karma.
Give me my karma.
It's, yeah, I know we're talking about an imaginary website here, but I mean, it's like, okay, I get it. I get it that people get upset but that their posts get deleted. I don't have a problem if posts get deleted, but I just want to know what rule I violated. And so this mod comes on, and he said, it wasn't, he said, normally we don't allow screenshots of Twitter or anything like that. So I wrote him back. I said, just for the record, it wasn't a screenshot of Twitter. It was actually a picture of something that was created in Minecraft. It was a picture of a tweet in Minecraft. And he's like, oh, well, that might change things, so I'll just check with the other mods. So then I wrote again to the mods. I was like, guys, listen, I don't care. I said, good, can you point out exactly what rule I violated? And then another mod was like, well, I think that something like this has happened before, and we might have done this. And I said, guys, think and might are not really inspiring a lot of confidence in this. So then, and anyway, so it went back and forth. And the guy was just, eventually he was just like, look, I've already explained it to you once. When Jeremy Fish posts this, this is not really, it's not really exciting news, and it's not very, what was the word he used? It's not really helpful to the community or something. So I wrote back, I said, first of all, his name is Phil Fish, it's not Jeremy Fish. And the second thing is, what does it have to do with, what does being helpful have to do with anything? This was a funny post, and it was getting good karma, not just for me, but it was generating a lot of discussion too, which is the poet, that was, who gives a shit about the karma really when you're talking about it? My favorite thing to do when you go to Reddit is to go to the actual comments and see what is actually going on there. Because somebody invariably finds more information about what's actually going on, or somebody explained, oh, this is how they actually did that. They actually just exported it as a PNG file and then threw it in with Python, and then they made, you know, like,
it's great.
There's always something good happening. So then he said, well, he said that, you know, we've already given you our reason why it's getting deleted. So I wrote him back. I said, okay, well, fine. I said, well, then, he said, is there anything else we can help you with? I said, no, but consider the deletion of my account, my sort of quiet, frustration against the poor moderation. So I deleted my account.
Whoa.
Wow.
I'm not there yet. I'm only on step 3 of 7 of the recovery process. I can't
delete this is not to keep, I mean, our around the horn is turning into around the fucking world here, but the other thing is I've done is I've deleted the Twitter app off my phone. I deleted the Reddit app off my phone, and I'm actually going to get rid of the Facebook app off my phone because I find I'm just too connected. I actually read an article this week that said that people's creativity is being killed by the fact that they are constantly on their phones. We have like 2 minutes alone, so you're standing in line for something, or if you're sitting in the toilet, or if you're, you know, just on the way to the bus or whatever it is, you constantly have your phone in your hand looking at stuff, and that constant stimulation doesn't inspire your imagination to create its own things. So I thought, well, let me just see it. I mean, who knows? It could be a crock of shit, but I thought, I'll give it a shot. I'll just, I'll just delete all that stuff for a while, and yeah, I'll see what goes on.
That's, I mean, cool. I guess that works.
Let's talk about some games. Yeah.
What were you going to say, Will?
No, just to say, like, I guess that works, you know, if you're not really self-disciplined in that, you know, like, you know, a lot of people don't have a lot of control, especially with you know, a bunch of, not to sound like an old person here, but a bunch of teenagers nowadays, you know, they're always connected, always on their smartphones, goddamn teenagers.
Whippersnappers.
Get off my property!
Exactly. What do you mean I can't post pictures of Phil Fish in Reddit? I hate this!
Or Jeremy Fish, for that matter.
Jeremiah Fish. I remember.
Yeah, you're right. Though I think that we are a bit too connected sometimes, I think sometimes. I mean, yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. It's in the business that we do too, right? I mean, I'm a technology teacher. We're doing this pixel enemy stuff. I mean, like we are connected by our nature, and that's how we all connected. So,
for sure.
But I do think that I need balance, and I think that it's not that I can't tell myself no. I mean, when I wanted to quit smoking, I just quit smoking, but it's like, if you have it there, the temptation is always just like, oh, I'll just see what's going on Twitter, see if there's anything interesting happening, you know. And so
sure.
It's not like I deleted my Twitter account. I can always just go onto my laptop and log in. But
sure.
I just don't have it. I don't have that ubiquitous access to it all the time.
Yeah.
I think that's a different. Yeah.
I remember.
I respect
My second post on Reddit was a picture of, oh, I forgot his name, but one of the guys.
Jeremy Fish.
Yeah, was one of the guys from Daft Punk, and he was like sitting on top of the DeLorean from Back to the Future, and I put the tagline.
Yeah.
Everything's gonna be okay. And then I went to bed and woke up, and it was like 6,000 karma, and it was the front page, and it was like Christmas. I was like, front page of Reddit! I just started this! I'm a master! I know Reddit! I am Reddit! And then I haven't got a thing on the front page since. I try. Okay, yeah, so for me, we already talked about it. Guacamelee I've been playing. And then PlayStation Plus, I've really been taking advantage of. I've also been playing the iOS Injustice app. But I've also jumped into Demon's Souls, which is the original Souls game. Since then, Dark Souls has come out, and then they're making a sequel to Dark Souls. But for those of you who don't know, these games are brutal. Like, they are pin you down, take away your virginity, and then just... I don't even know. I can't even finish the analogy because I'm already beaten down and sad. But everything was going fine. These are meticulous games, so, like, I'm doing what's called a royal class, so it's sword and shield, and then it has, like, a little bit of magic to it. So I'm always holding my shield up and, like, moving cautiously, and then I'm, like, 40 minutes into this level, dragon comes down, is like, what is that? What's that? That's a shield? One hit, and I'm dead. And then it brings me back to the beginning of the level. I was like, what? What? I just played 45 minutes, now I gotta do it all again? I was like, okay, time to shut this off for now. But I'm gonna give it more due diligence because, you know, I play every type of genre, but it's a weird thing, but I want to play like every game. So even if I don't like it, I know why I don't like it. So when I have conversations with people, I can talk to them about it. Right. So Demon's Souls, I don't not like yet. I just need to put more time into it, which is good. And then I also went down another rabbit hole, and started playing Guardians of Middle-Earth, which is a MOBA game set in the Lord of the Rings universe. Now, I've never played a MOBA game. I've never gotten into League of Legends or Dota 2, but a bunch of my friends were like, dude, Dota 2 is a great game, and, you know, it's a shit ton of fun, but it's a big learning curve. I was like, dude, I have no clue what a MOBA is. I don't esports. I don't know what even esports are. So I was like, but I knew that Guardians of Middle-Earth was like a not a retards version of a MOBA, but a dimmed down version of a MOBA. So I was like, okay, I'll try this one out. And I've been putting time into that, and it's super fun. I mean, I see where the appeal are, but I also see that I'm going to have to put in at least, you know, like another 10 or 15 hours if I ever want to consider myself decent at like a Dota 2. But my next step will be Dota 2, because that's what a lot of my friends are playing. So it's a cool rabbit hole that I went down. And it's also cool to see that Monolith does some really interesting games. Monolith did the original Condemned, and then Condemned 2, which are absolutely fantastic games. Then they went on to do Gotham City Impostors, which is like a first-person shooter, which is also a fun time. And now they did a MOBA set in the Lord of the Rings universe. So these guys are diversifying, which is awesome. But yeah, I've just been fiddling around with that this week. And then just playing some more PlayStation All-Stars because I want to make sure I can beat up Will when we play.
Yeah.
News. So next we're going to talk about some news happening in the industry.
Yeah.
The first one, and Teach would be, you know, a good one to talk about this because he is the residential Minecraft expert. But Notch, who is the creator of Minecraft, even though he's not the creative director anymore because he gave that over, but he was the creator and like the CEO of Mojang, but he is in second place behind the prince or the king of Egypt as Time's most influential man of the year, which is just astounding to me, you know, like when you think about the company that he's probably in of like this list. Which is crazy. So, just real quickly, I want to get your thoughts about, you know, this news. I mean, when I read it, I was like, okay. I you know, it couldn't be, like, a nicer guy, because if you know Notch, and unfortunately it goes back to Twitter, but I follow him on Twitter, and he just seems like the most chill, down-to-earth person, you know, and he's a bajillionaire. So, yeah, let's just go around the horn with this and start with Teach. What are your thoughts about Notch being in second place for the Times Most Influential Man?
It's a strange, I don't know how I feel about it. I see both sides. On one side, I kind of feel like, what, there's not some scientist out there or some woman who's really, like, pushed the rights of women, like, or you know, like, the woman who was shot in the head for speaking out and, you know.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? Like, there seems to be people who are out there, but then again, on the other side of it, I swear I'm really on the fence on this. The other side of it is that, okay, he just sold 10 million copies of his game, right? Just past this week, they just sold 10 million. I don't know a game that has made more of an impact in education. Not just, I mean, so that's one small aspect, right? But this is a guy who's made one game. Like, this is a company, like, that. When I posted that video on Pixel Enemy this week of their new office, I was kind of like, wow, they've got this huge office.
Main topic.
Like, that's really, okay, yeah, there's scrolls and Bros. But
that game
not,
is Minecraft.
I was surprised. Yeah, but I was still, I was like, okay, but I don't know. Is it really?
That it game seems is something influential. You're teaching your kids in school. Don't you use Minecraft to teach them? I mean, that's pretty
big.
Yeah,
we have seven servers.
Tool.
But I mean, yeah, but it's like a, it's definitely, I mean, there's no doubt about it that it's a big deal, but I just don't know. Is it such a big deal that he's one the second most influential person in the world?
I don't know.
I don't know if it really, I don't know what deserves. It's just, I know, I hear what you're saying. Well, it's just,
Because
I'd like
feel
to see
like,
the criteria. Who else?
Yeah. Because I feel like they're giving it to him because of the game, not necessarily because of what he's done. I don't know.
Well,
like,
again,
what has he done?
He's stimulated people's imaginations. He's really, like he's stimulated people's imaginations. He's shown us something really cool. Like he's got us feeling, you know, like maybe feeling young again, and the sandbox games are back, and not that they were gone,
if you
but
just
like
think about
this,
what he
this
did,
creative. I mean, he's,
if you think about what he did, he by himself before he got a staff, he created Minecraft, which has become like a revolution to people. Like you've already said it, like a billion hours logged into just the Xbox One, and then I think it's over. I was going to use trillion. I've seen that number online a bunch of times, but don't quote me on this, but I think it's over a trillion hours played from everybody in the world on PC. Now, that's astonishing. And, like, it's being used in classrooms to teach kids, like, you know, as an educational tool. And,
yeah, it's mandatory in Sweden.
I mean, it's just, like, really cool. And it's not so much, like, what he's, like, it is what he's done, but it's what he's created that I think got him to number two. I don't think it's Notch as a person. I think it's Notch as a figurehead of what he's of what he represents, which is the Minecraft brand and what Minecraft represents being a gajillion dollar industry and, you know, putting up those trillion hours of gameplay and what it's become. So I mean, it's interesting, and we got Will's opinion, you know, going back and forth, but Alex, what do you think about this?
I think this is kind of me, like, this kind of shows, like, what the state of time is. I mean, like, I'm just going to state right now before I state anything else, is, like, I haven't played Minecraft yet, and, yeah, I know, like, I could have jumped on any time, but, like, I just haven't had the time yet. But, like, I think that when you leave it up to a public vote and don't have, like, a panel of, like, you know, specialists or people that know the area, you're going to have, like, this scenario where you're going to have, you know,
EA's
who's on the internet mostly.
Company in the America, the second
I mean, like, EA, like, I guess this could be a good bridge, but, like, I guess, like, EA is definitely not the worst company. Like, they
not
don't do, not, they're, like, they're definitely not, but, like, the internet is just pissed off about them about stupid shit. So,
yeah,
the thing is that, like, even though, like, Minecraft may have done some good things and, you know, he might have done, like, extraordinary good things, like getting the game into classrooms, but, like, is it revolutionary? No, because, like, I think it really started to make, waves when it started making it into the Xbox. Like, I think that announcement was, like, two years before it came out, and people were already starting to get, like, online for it.
I know, but if you look at these people, like Ben Affleck's on the list, Psy, the guy that does Gangnam Style's on the list.
Yeah.
So oh, my God.
It is diversified.
Yeah, he's actually on the list,
yeah.
What it is, like, I mean, God damn it, Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck has two Oscars, guys. We've already talked about this on the show, but what am I doing with my life if Ben Affleck has two Oscars already? The new Pope's on the list, and he was Pope for, like, a week last year. Before, I don't even think he was classified Pope until this year.
Yeah, and Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize as well, right?
Yeah,
so,
Jay-Z's
I mean,
on the list.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel, Jennifer Lawrence. I mean, I can see how he's beating some of these. Jessica Chastain, why? Because she played a lady that got Osama bin Laden for us. I mean, Zero Dark Thirty was a decent movie, but Michelle Obama. Kim Jong Un's on the list. God, I hope he wins. Maybe he'll stop his bomb threats if he wins American Times Magazine Person of the Year. Kim Jong Un.
He'll declare war on Minecraft.
if he comes in second,
maybe
not.
There's got to be a reason. There's got to be more of a reason than just votes, though. Is that the only reason? Is it just because the people have been online and voting him up?
No, yeah. I think it's two things. I think time nominates them, and then people vote for positioning. So I think like a like panel of old guys with glasses. I don't know who the panel's made up of.
They have editors that pick and choose.
Okay, yeah. So some game guy was like, Minecraft's a phenomenon. Let's throw Minecraft on there. And then some guy that obviously hasn't seen Geegly was like, hey, let's throw Ben Affleck on there. No, Argo was a fantastic movie. I mean, it was really good. Like, really good. God damn it, Ben Affleck! Why are you so good as a director? You're not the greatest actor. But no, Gone Baby Gone, The Town, Argo are three fantastic movies. God, Ben Affleck, why do you do this to me? Why do you do this to me? Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, the voting's not done, so we'll come back
and see where it finishes. It's funny. A lot of people...
The voting did finish, actually. They're just going to make the list. They're going to show it in a few days.
Voting's done then, oh, wow. So we'll see what happens. But to piggyback off what Alex said, he talked about how, you know, when you have these things, you know, some shit happens. And EA was voted the worst company in America for the second year running, which is stupid. Ridiculous. They lost. Yeah. They beat out Carnival, who stranded about 600 people on a boat without restrooms or facilities and having to poop in bags. Like, throw them in a dumpster. They beat. I don't know how you beat Carnival. Like, there are 600 disgruntled people that are like, okay, so what? Madden 13 wasn't any good. I had to sit here.
How do you beat Halliburton? Or how do you beat?
Stupid. It's dumb. But yeah. So with that announcement, and because they're streamlining their company to deal with next generation consoles, EA had a shoot ton of layoffs this week. Now, undisclosed number. They haven't released one yet, but I heard it's a lot of people. So I just want to, like, there's really nothing really to talk about here, just because, you know, the question I'll formulate here is, do you guys honestly think EA deserves the hate that they get?
No, they don't. And that's let me just start by saying they absolutely don't. They're actually they're not a bad company. They've done some things that are really shitty. Yeah, okay, the digital rights stuff, and that's going to go on forever. And when we talk about the Adam Warth thing, I've got something to say about that as well. But the I know Alex is ready to go into, but I don't just in a nutshell. No, they don't deserve all this bad credit. They're trying. It's a company that seems like they genuinely want to make. Yeah, okay. Yes, they want to make money like everybody else does, like all four of us do. But they're also, it seems like they're trying to gain back people's trust. So I think we just have to, people just need to lay off EA for a little while. Holy shit.
I think part of the problem is that a lot of players in particular have this problem of entitlement where they feel like they should get what they want. And if they don't get it, they'll get upset with the company that didn't deliver. And, you know, in these people's eyes, EA didn't deliver because they felt they were entitled to things from them. And I think that's bullshit. We're not entitled to anything. They're a company. They give us goods. And even though they basically feed off our feedback, they're a company. Ultimately, you know, like it was brought up earlier, their ultimate thing is to make money. They're a business. And, you know, yes, some of their practices are extremely questionable. You know, which company doesn't have somewhat questionable practices? But
exactly.
Yeah, in the end, you have to see it from EA's point of view. They're really trying hard to try and make gamers satisfied. And, you know, they just don't see it that way.
For sure. You know what you said about being entitled? I think that the only thing I'm entitled to if I spend money is that whatever I buy is what I expected and that it works. Like right. if I'm buying food, this should be edible and it shouldn't make me sick. If I'm buying a game, then it should work and I should be able to it should run on my system or whatever. Like so it didn't work. Like there were some problems with connectivity. Did they fix the problem eventually? Yes. Did they give people some sort of some compensation for the fact that they were inconvenienced? Yes, they did. Did they apologize profusely? They did it constantly. And you know, I think that they're moving forward now with the Mac version coming out in June, and they're saying that okay, if you've purchased one, then you'll be able to play on both systems. So you know, purchased the PC version, that's nice, man. That's really nice. Like that's taking a page out of Valve's book. They didn't have to do that. They could have said okay, Mac version separate. But I think you're right. I think I totally agree with everything you said, Alex.
For sure, Alex. What are your thoughts on this?
I think Cliffy B said it the best when he was talking about how I think in like a related article like about 2 weeks ago, maybe it might be like 2 months ago, he was talking about how if Valve did anything like what EA has done, which is basically like forced microtransactions, stuff like in Dead Space, or even just talk about microtransactions, I think, you know, like, I think people would not be up on, he said that people would not be up in arms just like the way people are like about EA. So the thing is, I think EA needs some solid good PR, but every time like they have like a PC platform like SimCity or even SWTOR or Star Wars The Old Republic, either way, like they just seem to mess it up. And I understand like the criticism, but the thing is that like for me personally, I when I was at the Game Developers Choice Awards and John Riccitiello was there, or the former CEO of EA was there, and he was talking about how he was like, you know, he didn't want to admit he was forced out, but you know what he was kind of was, yeah. and I feel like people are kind of like just not.
Yeah, I agree. It goes back to that old adage, fool me once. And that's where I think you're coming from, you know, with SWTOR and then SimCity and things like that. So, I don't think they deserve the hate that they're getting. They're a business, they're looking to make money. I agree with all you guys. Great points. I agree with Rob that as a consumer, I want my thing to work, so SimCity was an issue. I think a lot of butthurt. There are a lot of butthurt Mass Effect fans attribute this to, because they feel like EA was the one that screwed over the ending, which they might have screwed over some other stuff. But I don't think the ending was one of them. I don't think EA was like Star Child. Your choices don't matter. Let's roll with it. I don't think they were like that. Before we get to our next topic, because we are up to date on pixelenemy.com, and because I am not Rob and I still have my Twitter app, I just want to tell you guys that Marcus, which is Notch, just tweeted that somehow I'm number 2 in the Time 100 Most Influential People list. Huge honor, of course, heart, but I just made a game, which is cool, you know, just seeing that and you know, what we were just debating and talking about. So that's cool to, you know, just a little update there.
He's so humble. Give him first place. Actually, I changed my whole mind. Give him first place. He deserves it.
And then, of course, Phil Fish is just, Phil Fish is just going off about yelling at other developers. He's calling out the Castle Crasher people right now, the Behemoth. God, I love Phil Fish. Okay, next one is actually talking about another personality, Adam Orth. So for those of you that don't know, he works at Microsoft, worked at Microsoft, and, you know, there have been a lot of reports that Microsoft's Xbox 720 was going to be always on, meaning you always had to have an online internet connection to do anything with it, which is bogus, and we've talked about that already. But when people were talking to him, he was kind of rude, and the biggest thing that I took away was he told one person, well, he first started out by stating that every device is always online. You know, our smartphones and all the stuff we own is always online. But when somebody asked about him, he just said, deal with it. And, you know, that was kind of rough. So what happened was this week, a few days ago, it was found out that he is no longer with Microsoft. And, you know, 99.99% of people that have a brain are probably equating that to his whole outburst on Twitter about the always-on connection. So I just want to get your thoughts about this situation. I know, Rob, you're adamant about it. And I actually just want to ask a follow-up to the question is about social media and its role that it plays in, like, today's society as a game developer, as a video game journalist like us. Everything that we say on all the – well, maybe not us because we're not – you know,
we're not that huge
influential person in Time, but you know, a lot of people, you know, see what you post on your social media and it just, you know, it's rough. So I just want to get your opinions on that stuff. So Rob, I know you're adamant about this whole debacle, so let's start with you.
The social media stuff, I was going to say something about this when it came to the EA thing as well. I think that if you had to actually go into a store and buy your game from the guy that was actually making the game in the store, like if the guy who made SimCity, like let's say, like we were talking, let's let's take it back 100 years. But if they say this guy made this game and you had to go in and talk to him and there were problems with it, nobody would have the balls to say what they would say. Oh, you know, this game sucks. You know, like, I hate you. You're the worst company ever. They wouldn't do that. You know, it's that because we've got the screen in front of us that gives people this, you know, they become keyboard warriors and people just tend to sort of drift into this anonymity, and that's why they can say what they want to say. It's the same reason why what's her name, Anita Sarkeesian, got so much criticism, because people could do it anonymously. I think that if things weren't anonymous, then it would be a totally different story. We wouldn't see anywhere near as much criticism. I think that social media has totally changed the game with that. That being said, I think that I've said this before. I don't think what he said was very wrong. I really don't have a problem with what he said, but I think it's how he said it that everybody had the issue. Yeah. I think I was reading some tweets about this just recently, and people were saying that they've done some research into this always on, and you know, people complaining, okay, well, those places like, I think we said Kansas, right? It was not connected, whatever. But they're saying that they were studying the places without coverage, and they're saying that the areas in the United States without coverage have halved in the last year. And if you go by the trends in that, you know, by say, like, okay, well, it's like, let's say there's 100 million people without the internet. Well, that's now down to 50 million, right? I'm not sure what the numbers are. I'm just making them up. But right. It sounds like, you know, like with people saying that it's the internet's getting more and more pervasive. Everybody's getting it. It's getting faster. It's getting quicker. The coverage is happening more and more. It sounds like, okay, yeah, I understand where he's talking from. Maybe he's got some figures, or he's looking at things from a different perspective, but I don't think he needed to lose his job over it. It's too bad.
For sure. Will?
Oh, what do I have to say about it? I mean, I had a week to sit on this, and I'm kind of going to take my stance just a little backwards and just try not to be as extreme about it. I mean, it sucks. It always sucks to lose a job. I feel bad for the guy, because he got to that position for a reason. You know, he was talented enough to become a creative director, and it sucks that he had to be let go. But that just goes to show, you know, how much scrutiny people in high positions are nowadays. Because anything you say, if you're in a high position, like a Microsoft creative director, anything you say on any social media site, it will be paid attention. You know, people will pay attention to it. And you know, I agree with Rob in that I no longer have a problem with what he said. It's his opinion. That's, you know, it's totally fine. It's how he said it that really upset me. And it's sad to see him, you know, or anyone lose a job. But that just goes to show that you really do have to be careful what you say online, because anyone could be listening.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. And Alex Sam, what about you?
For me, like, I don't really mind, like, for me, social media plays a key role of like on interacting with the customer or interacting with your fan base. Even for me, like, just like if people have like a problem with, if someone has a problem with like a review I've written or a piece I've written, like, I'm happy with feedback. But like, I think he kind of like jumped the line a little bit, because I do kind of believe about the always on. Like, I do think that's going to be a feature, but I don't think that like, they should have helped. Like, that's not the way you present it. There has to be a way that there has to be some benefits to it. And, you know, like, you know, I think the way you present it is the similar way you showcase the PS3, like the way they had that PS4 announcement in New York. That's the way you showcase why it's always on. But like, I don't think that you just like, you diss your fan base like that. It's like, well, deal with it. Like, I don't think that, well, just like what Rob was saying about how, like, what was it, 50% of the, was it the world or the United States is basically,
like 20% of the U.S. is not connected.
This number changes every week when we talk about internet availability.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is that, like, the middle United States doesn't have.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Doesn't have high speed, so the problem is
that, I don't have high speed.
Yeah, so, like, that would be like the big game change, because like, if once we start getting Google Fiber in all the major cities, then it'll be like, then it stops. Then we start talking about, you know, games being $60, and well, games will still be 60, but like, the problem will be that like, I think people are gonna have a hard time dealing with that price, because you don't have to deal with the retailer.
For sure.
Yeah.
It only cost about 15 cents to print a disc. And then packaging is probably $1 to manufacture a package, a label. So about $1.20 to make a game, like the physical version of a game. But it's,
see, like, I think GameSpot takes, or GameSpy or whatever, EB Games. Yeah, I don't even know my local retailer anymore. But I think they take about, your local game store, it takes about 20%. And then the publisher takes about another 20. And then the other chip goes the other 40. Yeah. So.
Well, there's a bunch of hands in that pot. Because first you have to start off with the big three. So they get... they get a piece of the pie, so Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo get a piece of it. Then, like you said, the publishers get a piece of it. Then some of the money has to go to the developers, and then some of the other money has to go to GameStop, who gets, you know, they don't make a lot off every game they get, but they still make money. So that's why games are $60. But they are also just fuckers, and even if that's all cut out, they will still charge you $60 for a game. And you're like, sometimes it baffles me, like, Nintendo's really bad at this, because they offer every game digitally on their eShop now, which is great, and finally. But when I went to Amazon, they sold Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon for $35, and then when I went on their Nintendo's eStore, it was $40, and I was like, it wasn't on sale or anything. That's just, like, their retail version. So it's, like, $5. And you also look at things, you know, like used game market and or new games on websites or through GameStop or Best Buy. Like, Spec Ops: The Line is $20 anywhere. Best Buy, it was for free for PlayStation Plus members last week.
Yeah.
But if you go to PlayStation Network or Xbox Live Arcade, it's $50 to buy, download digitally.
Oh, God.
Which is, like, what? No, that's stupid.
See, I think that's going to change now. I think I think everyone's going to adapt. I don't want to say the Valve model, but the whole price structure where things are easily, where publishers can easily change the price daily or even hourly.
Yeah, for sure.
The way everything is kind of like changed up I totally agree with you, because I think, like, I remember this memory of, like, talking to a PR person. I was like, why isn't this game, like, you know, $20? Like, well, no, we can't, because Microsoft has standards. They have a really gated off community about the indie, and I think that needs to change. And I think right now, like, all signs are kind of pointing to, like, you know, Sony kind of being the indie platform with the whole, what was it, GDC week, where they had Hotline Miami announced for the PS Vita and PS3. So for me, that, like, it kind of showcases that, like, they have there were other games, but I think there were about, like, 20 other games coming to the PS Vita that were all from indie, and that's only gonna continue. So it should be interesting to see who wins.
You know who wins? Austin, Texas wins, because this week it was announced that they're getting Google Fiber, which is awesome, and they're also getting AT&T's version of their fiber network. So people are going to have choices for super, because they already have Verizon Fios, which is also fiber, but not as fast as Google or this AT&T. The AT&T one's going to be a gigabit second too. So it's crazy. I want fast internet. Give me fast internet. Okay.
It'll be interesting to see what happens if they install that in, like, several big cities.
Well,
it'll be
interesting to see how fast. Eventually, they said they're going to get it too. But New York already has internet, Verizon.
The internet in Singapore is insanely fast. It's just insane. Like, we've got this the LTE network here now for, like, this is just for mobile phones, but the LTE network, I was downtown near the Singtel building, like, and I had my phone on, and I connected to the LTE, and I did a speed test, and I was downloading at 78 megabits a second. 78.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
On my phone. Ugh. Just on my phone.
Well, LTE is really good. 4G's sick.
Yeah, they were offering a package here in Singapore for 300. You could get a 300 megabit line. I think it was $68 a month or $80 a month, what? And then it was, and you got a free MacBook Pro as well.
What? Oh, what? Yeah. Why am I not unlimited in Singapore?
Unlimited data. Yeah.
Oh God. Okay, so then I just threw, instead of giving them each one their own category, I just called this the rest of the news. So I'm just gonna read these three things, and then if any of you guys have anything you want to add to these things. I know Will probably wants to talk about the Crytek one. But yeah, if you guys have anything you want to add, just holler. So first is, there's a rumor that says the PS3 will include 7 gigabytes of RAM.
PS4, right?
PS4, yeah. PS4. Yeah. PS3 just includes a chip processor and looks like a refrigerator. So 7 gigabytes of RAM in the PS4. Then they also came out and said, not PS4, but people have come out and said that there will be a Castle of Illusion HD remake. If you guys have not played Castle of Illusion, it is incredible, and it stars Mickey Mouse, and it's a really good game. So it's great to see, like, it's on the site, I wrote an article about it, but DuckTales is getting an HD remake, which was a fantastic game for the Nintendo, so now Castle of Illusion getting one. So I'm usually on the fence about these HD remakes, because sometimes they don't turn out well, but when they are done well, it's really cool. And, you know, it's cool to see games from my childhood remade in glorious HD graphics. And speaking about graphics, oh, yes, I do this for a living, guys. Crytek CEO has come out and said that graphics are 60% of a game. So talking about how gameplay isn't the most important part. Graphics are, because it can dictate the gameplay. So he used Crysis 3 as an example and said, the grass is so realistic, you can see it waving when enemies walk in it. I was like, you don't need to look at the grass for that, just shoot them mindlessly, because that's all you do in the game anyway. But yeah, so those three stories, take them or leave them. Anybody have anything to say about them? Okay.
Okay, go Will, go with the Crytek one.
Yeah, it's interesting he's saying that graphics are 60% of a game. I mean, I looked through the comment section for the post, and Million Core, he comments a lot on the posts, by the way. Like, he comments on every post, every single one. Yeah, yeah, he's the man. He's amazing. But
yeah, good. I like what he says. He seems like a decent guy.
Like, he brought up a good point that if he means that 60% of graphics is equal to 60% of the fun. And it's interesting what the CEO thinks about this in terms of graphics. Like, does he mean graphics by itself, or does he mean graphics as in, you know, they allow for players to have fun? Because if it's the latter, then I think it's wrong. Like, you can look at so many indie games. Like, for example, just Guacamelee. Like, we were talking earlier in the show. For a game like that, the graphics are, well, you know, they're subpar. They're 2D. I mean, the animation's really nice, but, you know, it's just 2D sprites. It's not that complicated, but it's so much fun, and it doesn't make the game, you know, if he wants to talk about numbers, once you cross that 50% threshold, it's like, now you're talking about a majority. And if you think a majority of the game should just be on graphics, I don't know if that's necessarily a good way to look at developing a game. You know, I think that's just very superficial thinking. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Crytek's always been a company like, hey, look at Crysis, your computer's not going to be able to play it, but look at it.
Just look at it. Like, the first Crysis game, I'm sorry, I found it to be, it was a benchmark for graphics, but for gameplay, it was boring.
It was better than 2 and 3.
You know, I mean, yeah, and the third one was pretty boring. I like 2. 2
was
my favorite.
2
was
okay.
But, yeah, but the first one, as far as gameplay goes, it was just lackluster. Okay, yeah, your suit can,
another
you
game
know,
that just slaps you in the face halfway through it, and they're like, hey, yep, the first half of this game, you're on a tropical island, and there's these
aliens
and ice. I was like, what? Why? Yeah,
how would this discussion about 60% of the game is graphics, how would that translate to something like Minecraft?
Exactly. Or games, like, you look at games, I'm pretty sure Super Mario Bros. 3 doesn't have the greatest graphics, but A, it's one of the best-selling games of all time, one of the best
games.
That
was mostly because it was limited by the hardware, to be fair.
Yeah, I know, but, like, going forward, graphics can still be good, and I know with the new systems and 7 gigabytes of RAM, they might have, you know, way to do better. But if you look at the games that are the best games year in and year out, they're really not graphical powerhouses. Like, the game of the year last year was Walking Dead. I mean, it had a cel-shaded look. I mean, graphics weren't going to win any awards, but it was because of the storytelling, and you can't even really lump gameplay in here because there wasn't really any gameplay, because it was a point-and-click adventure game, so it was mostly about story. I honestly think, if I would break it down, and you guys can chime in on, like, your breakdowns too, but I would say story over mostly everything, and then I would probably say story and gameplay are equal, because I play a ton of games. Like, Dysphoria just came out, and it's a game about a woman who did a transgender surgery, and it's about her, it's like an autobiographical game, and it's about her, you know, transformation, you know, from a guy to a girl, and it's, you know, just a bunch of mini games about, you know, like, what she had to go through and all that stuff, and it's not made with incredible graphics. It's right. But it tells a good autobiographical story, and you know it. You know the gameplay of what you look at. Cart Life. Cart Life won all.
I was just about to say Cart.
Yeah, IGF Life, awards yeah. or IGF awards, and it's a black and white pixelated game. So I really don't think graphics are 60% of the game, but that's just my opinion. But
I'd be hard pressed to put a percentage on it. They're definitely important, and I think that the reason why. I mean, these machines aren't getting upgraded every year, and the 7 gigs of RAM is not coming out because of the story. They're definitely getting upgraded because, and you know, graphics cards are getting upgraded. I mean, they've got a post coming out this week about graphics cards and comparing them from like the PC ones to the PS4 and the Xbox 720, just based on sort of speculation. But they're not upgrading these things because of stories, and they're not upgrading these things for gameplay. They're upgrading it for the graphics. They're upgrading it for size of the games that are coming out and new technologies, and you know, so I think it's definitely a big part of it, but I'd be really hard pressed to put up percentage.
New releases
this week. There are some games coming out, but are they any good? So we're going to run through this week in games and just get some yay and nays from our expert panel of video game journeys.
Crack team.
So the biggest, you know, I think the biggest release this year is Injustice: Gods Among Us, the new fighting game from NetherRealms, set in the DC universe. With
did you say the biggest release this year or the biggest?
Yeah.
Release
this week? No, this week. This week. I said this week.
This week. Oh, okay. No, this year.
No, not this year. Trust me, this game will fade away. The fighting community probably will still like this game in a couple weeks, months. But, you know, fighting games, they usually fade away pretty quickly, even if the subject matter is DC Universe. Injustice: Gods Among Us. Yay, nay, indifferent. I'll start. I'm yay. I mean, I've been playing the iOS app, which is, you know, unlocking, like, you know, costumes and some other stuff for the console game. I was in the minority, and I actually enjoyed Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe. I thought it was like an interesting mashup. It wasn't the greatest game, but I liked the story mode and how they, you know, just combined the worlds and how they played with one another. And I'm a DC fan. We don't have to get into that conversation of which one is better, but I mean, I like DC. I like Marvel too. So it's interesting, you know, and all these characters they made look pretty cool. Like, you know, Aquaman is usually a big bitch, but they made him look pretty cool in this game. So if you can make Aquaman look cool, then you're okay in my book, Ed Boon. So yay for me. Alex, what about you?
Alright, I'm really looking forward to this. This comes out next week, surprisingly. Kind of caught me off by the radar, but playing a lot of the iOS, should be getting a review copy, but you know what, I'm a big Marvel fan and I'm a big Mortal Kombat fan, but that would be my dream right now, is to have that studio Neverwind. And I knew it was something with Never, but
yeah.
Neverwind.
Yeah.
That's their Mortal Kombat universe.
But you know, like I played a little bit at GDC. I was definitely adoring it. Definitely digging what they were doing with the environment.
That's cool.
And it should be interesting, like, to see how if this game does pick up some steam in the EVO community, like the fighting community, for sure.
You know, games picking up steam. Dive Kick. Have you guys seen Dive Kick?
Yeah, I don't care about that.
It's two buttons: dive and kick. Everybody has 100 HP, and every attack does 1,000,000 damage. So it's basically one-hit KO each round, and the only buttons are dive and kick. So it's super frantic, and it's fun, and they had it up at PAX, and they had, like, really fancy arcade controllers, and people were playing it, and it just looks like a blast. It's Dave Lang and Iron Galaxy who have made some awesome games, so it looks incredible. They're actually trying to get it into EVO, which is going to be cool if they do, because it's a stupid game, but it's a fun game that anybody can play, because a lot of barrier to entry for fighting games is, okay, I can punch and kick, but
combo list.
Yeah, I want to do all this cool stuff, but there's like 100 buttons, half circle joysticks and stuff like that. So to have a game with two buttons that is also deep, because each person plays differently, it's pretty cool. But Rob, yay, nay, or Injustice?
Totally nay. There's no PC version, so they can fuck off.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Hostility.
Sorry, did I say that out loud? Sorry, I was just thinking that.
He's gonna write you an angry post this on our gaming. Post this on Arc Gaming.
Oh, never mind, Arc Gaming. No, it looks really good. I mean, that's the thing. It looks great, and you know, there's a really cool collector's item that's like that you can get. It's like a 13-inch figure of Batman fighting Wonder Woman. It looks really cool, but with no PC version, it's just like you're stuck on consoles and just not a console player. Yeah. So I can't say yay as much as I would have liked to.
Will?
Yay! I played the recent Mortal Kombat game.
So good.
For the PS3, so good. Oh, like if I can play a fighting game like that, then I'm gonna like it. So I'm looking forward to Injustice.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then they've already we've already talked about this, but they've announced a season pass, and there's going to be 3 more characters. They have a pretty good variety. The best part was, like, they made a thing, like an event of announcing each character. There's 24 characters in the roster to start, and they made an event of announcing each character. They're like Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and then they're like, oh, the last 2 characters are Ares and this Frost character, but don't pay any attention to them. Like, they put out a trailer, like, 3 weeks ago. They're like, yeah, the last 2 people are Ares and this other person, but they're not really cool, so, yeah. They're just people. I was like, okay. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see who they go for DLC, because they hit a lot of the main characters, so it'll be interesting. Okay, next game, Shin Megami Tensei, Devil Summoner for the Nintendo 3DS. Shin Megami Tensei is a very popular franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Yays and nays around. Alex M, yay or nay?
Nah, I'm just gonna stay nay. Don't even know what this game is, so I'm just gonna stay nay.
Rob?
That's a plus one. Yeah.
Will?
Yay. I'm actually looking forward to it. It's interesting. It came out, it's a port. It came out roughly a decade and a half ago or something like that, so it's not really an original game, but I've played it, it's good. So, you know, I might get the 3DS version, I don't know.
That's awesome. Pandora's Tower, which is a Wii game that, guys, it's a slow week besides Injustice. Give me a break. Pandora's Tower, yay, nay. Alex?
Nay.
Nay. Rob?
Nay.
William?
Yay.
There we go. Good, William's diversifying himself.
I say yay only because the guys that are making it made Jump Ultimate Stars and Jump Superstars. I don't know if anyone's played that for the DS, but they're so much fun.
It's like
Smash
Brothers, but with, like, Yu Yu Hakusho and...
Yeah, and, like, Goku and Naruto too. Like, they made some One Piece games, which I'm willing to overlook if it's good, so...
Okay, this one I'm actually interested in. I wrote a piece about this game, which originally came out on the PlayStation Network. You know, it's a really simple independent game. Victor Caballo, I butchered that, but he did this, and it's another autobiographical game called Papo E.O., and it's about it's about his father was abusive to him and an alcoholic, and the game is just you play as... not him, but it's representing him, but a little boy, and there's this monster in the game that's chasing you, and this monster has an addiction to poisonous frogs, and whenever he gets one of these poisonous frogs, he becomes very violent, and, you know, when he's violent, you know, you can't interact with him because he'll hurt you. So, it's very personal, and they said they, you know, the downsides of the PlayStation Network version was, you know, the controls weren't the greatest, and the visuals weren't amazing, but they've touched up both those things for the PC, so I'm going to replay it, but what about you guys? I know that, you know, if it doesn't have explosions, a lot of people don't like to play it, but Alex, do you have any interest in checking this game out?
Yeah, like, I've already played it before.
Oh, cool.
And I don't really plan to go back and revisit it just because of how busy everything else is right now, but I recommend anybody kind of checking it out. Just because it does have, like, a really good message behind it, which is kind of like a rarity right now. I don't know how that is in video games, but it does kind of, like, it's one of those personal games that you kind of need to play to understand what it's kind of going for and, like, what it's trying to convey. But it's kind of like a broken game at the same time. Like, game design wise, it's like you can literally fall through the map, like, in every level. So it's not the most solid foundation game. Like, you're not going to gain the Valve quality game you're going to expect. But I'm just saying that, like, if you're looking for a very good story, like, you can't go wrong.
Sure. Rob?
Yeah, I'm definitely interested. I'm interested in just kind of what Alex was saying about the story. And I don't know if anybody, if you guys have seen that movie, it's called Indie Game, the movie, with all the indie game developers and stuff. It's a great movie. And I think what the thing that I took away from that movie the most was just how these guys are trying to, how they're trying to like communicate with their audience. You know, like they're, it's not so much as like, we're trying to make money here. Like we're really, like the one part at the end when Super Meat Boy comes out and he's like, yeah, people are getting it. Like, you know, this is what we wanted. We wanted people to really get the idea, you know, like they're getting it. And how, what's his name? Jonathan Blow is frustrated that people didn't get the message that he was trying to, you know, people were like, oh, it's such a cool game and it's so interesting. But he got all pissed off because people just didn't get his message, you know, like, I mean, he's the super genius kind of guy. But so I think that, yeah, when people put their games out there and they're showing how vulnerable they are, I'm all for supporting it. And if it's something interesting that tells a good story, then that's kind of exactly where I want to go.
Awesome, Will.
I was going to say I don't care for this, but now that I've heard you guys talk about it, I'm really interested in getting it. But I can't get it for the PC because I don't have a PC. I have a Mac. So I think I might just get it for the PS3.
Yeah, I think it might be cheaper on there. But, you know, talking about earlier with how, you know, the big three still price their digital downloads, probably not. And I don't like to pimp rival websites, obviously. But GameTrailers.com has a segment they do called Indieverse, and it's hosted by Kelly Santiago, who worked at that game company, so Flower, Flow, and Journey. And in last week's episode, she talked about how independent games are developed and how they go about getting money from self-publishing or from publishers, and it's a super interesting 10-minute topic just talking about indie games. And finally, I mean, this one, everybody... Oh.
God,
releasing
yeah.
UK hits. Obviously,
you know,
yes.
This has been out for 2 years, right?
Obviously, yes, for me. The UK, the only good music comes from the UK, obviously. Alex, what about you?
Don't give a shit.
Oh, sorry, no. Will. No. What?
This game, I don't give a shit for this game. It's been out in Europe for 2 years.
Well, it's coming to America now, so we can sing the greatest UK hits.
I'm just impressed there are still Wii games coming out.
Yeah, on a system that, well, yeah, more people have a Wii than a Wii U, that's for sure.
Let's face it, it was a piece of crap from the beginning.
The Wii U?
No, the Wii.
Oh,
I mean,
Wii no, better than the Wii U.
No, the Wii had
a piece of crap.
The Wii had potential. Like the Wii had potential, but no one really cracked it.
Yeah.
So
the Wii
you can't. So like the Wii Sports was probably like the best game, and
agreed.
And that was like the.
Well, I like No More Heroes.
But for me, like
out for the Wii, that was pretty fun.
Yeah, I heard some good things about it, but like
that was interesting.
And Mad World.
And Dead Space. The Dead Space light gun game. That was really
I think it was.
And
wait,
Super Smash Brothers.
What?
Dead Space had a light gun game come out for it, like an on-rail shooter.
Really good. Yeah.
Nines everywhere. And then Super Smash Brothers was good. Not played with a Wiimote, though. You have to play it with a GameCube controller. Yeah, they had some good games. I mean, I like Twilight Princess, and was there another Zelda game for the Wii? Skyward Sword.
Skyward Sword, there.
Yeah, so they had a few good games, but yeah, I agree with you. Nobody, like, third-party developers didn't really crack it. Yeah, okay, so finally, how we close out every show, user questions. And thank you guys for submitting your user questions. We are always appreciative of them. The first one is from @PaulBZ. Thoughts on the new Injustice Gods Among Us launch trailer? He's with the times because NetherRealms put out their launch trailer for Injustice today, which shows off, you know, the story mode and, you know, just some fights. You heard our thoughts about the game. We're all excited about it. But so what were your thoughts on the launch trailer that was premiered today, Will?
It was actually pretty good. I liked it. It still really doesn't tell me what the story is about. And I don't know if the story is going to be bad or good, but I guess
the story is actually really good. If you read the comic book, the story in the Injustice comic book is actually the prequel to the game. So you're actually going to be missing out like little details. So basically like Superman has killed Lois Lane in his new baby and or his new son. I think it's new son or girl. Either way, he killed off his...
Yeah, wasn't it because, like, he thought they were...
bad guys.
Yeah, they were bad guys or something?
Yeah, like, he thought he killed off Lois Lane and his son because he thought he was fighting Doomsday.
This is like an alternate world, though, right? This isn't canon.
Yeah, no, this is an alternate.
No, this is not canon at all. This is why it's fun, like to
whatever you want, yeah.
Just to say what if, but like.
Do you guys follow any read any comic books like monthly?
I've been reading not a little bit.
Not anymore. Not as much as I used to.
I just follow Walking Dead, which is getting kind of boring, and Batman, the new D52 Batman. That's really good. They just finished the Joker arc. That was really good. Really cool. Joker's a good villain, Joker. So, Rob, what are your thoughts on the launch trailer?
Yeah, it looks really good. When that shark came up and chewed that guy, that was awesome. I rewind that. I was just like, I gotta see it again. That was just
there it is.
Wicked. Anytime there's a shark that bites anybody, that's just awesome. Anything. Any sharks, you cannot go wrong with sharks.
That's awesome. Alex, sorry.
Looks good. No, it looks good.
Alex, what are your thoughts?
Like, I've already played a pretty good amount of it. I already played like maybe like 2 hours of the opening cinematic. And it's pretty good, like the story and everything else. So it's not one of those launch trailers that shows you all the goods and then that's all it really has. Like, there are plenty of Easter eggs that the story is basically on par with Mortal Kombat story.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, so if you're a fan of that, you're gonna get your fair share.
Except Shao Kahn was a little bitch at the end. Okay, our next question is from at KP4321. Thank you, KP4321. What is your favorite? I like the trailer. I'm interested in the game. I like DC. Like I said, I like the Mortal Kombat story, and I like that the story mode forces you, but it's a nice forcing to play every character. So you'll get a feel for how everybody plays, which is awesome. Because sometimes if there's no story mode, you might latch on to a character that you like and just be like, oh, I like Batman, so I'm gonna play Batman every time. Like in Mortal Kombat, the old ones, I was a big Sub-Zero fan. So you know, whenever a new Mortal Kombat came out, I'd play Sub-Zero, and then if I knew I was playing for money against friends, I'd play Sub-Zero. But I liked that in this new one, I played the story first, so I got to play as everybody, learn all their moves, and then I was able to decide who I wanted to play for tournaments and stuff, which I ended up playing as Smoke, which is because he's awesome. So KP4321 asks, what is your favorite candy bar? Alex M., if you like candy bars, what do you indulge in?
Probably Snickers, actually.
Snickers. That is an American candy bar right there.
I hope it is.
Rob, does over on that part of the world, you guys got some cool candy bars or?
No, we don't get anything like that over here. Yeah, of course. Oh. Does M&M's count as a candy bar?
Whoa!
Wow!
I don't think so. M&M's count as a candy, but candy bar, if it's not in a bar shape, I'm not accepting that as an acceptable answer. So,
Jesus, you sound like one of the fucking mods for our gaming, man.
I'm sorry. You know what? I'm deleting my Skype account because out of protest. Silent protest. No,
I think it probably Snickers or Arrow. I like Arrow Bar. I think they're made in Canada.
Arrow Bar, okay. Snickers, okay. Two Snickers, okay. Will.
I'm a big chocolate guy, so it's either Milky Way or Three Musketeers for me, but I'm leaning more towards Milky Way now.
Those are classic candy bars right there. That fluffy goodness of
Three
Musketeers. Nougat, that's what is it in there, right? That's what they call it?
Three Musketeers?
Yeah.
No, it's just pure chocolate.
No, what's the fluffy stuff?
The fluffy stuff is just chocolate.
No,
chocolate.
It has a name. I'm not crazy, it has a name.
I don't know.
That fluffy stuff in the middle has a name. Milky Way is caramel, and I think it's nougat, because Milky Way has the same thing, that fluffy...
It's not nougat.
It's not just chocolate, damn it! It has a name!
Damn.
I'm gonna find it, and I'm gonna put a post on the
Hey, stand page. Back, everybody. Espo's gonna tell somebody to fuck you in a second here.
Hold on, right. I don't even know why I got on Ted. We're missing Ted today.
Guys, it was the sequel to... Bandui, what was that? That was you were. What was that game he was talking about? He was like, there hasn't been a good sequel to a game. It was Crash Bandui or something.
Oh, that piece of shit too.
Crash Bandicoot.
No, it was something else. It doesn't matter. Banjo-Kazooie, that was it. Yeah.
Banjo-Kazooie was a great, Nuts and Bolts was a great game. Fuck Ted. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Banjo-Kazooie, Nuts and Bolts was a solid 8.5 to 10 on everybody's...
We're done with the podcast. Goodbye.
Metacritics. It was a good game, damn it. Sorry it wasn't N64 nostalgia. And it's Nougat. There's a name for it. I'll find it out.
It's not Nougat. It's chocolate filling that just happens to be fluffy.
It's dumb. And this guy wants $90,000 for 5% royalty in his company. Is he retarded? So I'm watching Shark Tank as we record the podcast. Wow. Okay. Wow. With that, we're going to end the podcast, Tom. My favorite candy bar. My favorite candy bar is... Oh, man.
End the podcast like that.
Anything. Cool. Anything that I can get my hands on. I like Butterfingers. I like Twix bars. I like Snickers. I'm fat, so I like any candy bar. Get them away from me because I will eat them all, and then I will continue to curse at Ted for not liking Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. So thank you guys for listening. That was our show. Hope you enjoyed. Next week, you guys are going to be bio-shocked at how much infinite wisdom we lay down on you. Guys, I'm going to master these things.
Tears is made with a nougat filling.
Is so. It?
Yeah.
I knew it was called nougat. God. Why can't I be the spokesperson for these candy bars? Three Musketeers, chocolate and nougat. Okay, that's our show, guys. Remember, the show is on iTunes, so if you subscribe, you will hear our lovely voices every time you log on to iTunes, and it'll download the episode automatically, so you don't have to do anything. Or you can always listen to it online, stream it. And there's now that podcast tab on the main page. So you don't have to email me. And I actually get emails saying, where's the podcast? I want to listen to podcasts. It's not like these are serials, so you don't have to go back and listen to the old ones. But you can click on them if you want. Bioshock Infinite discussion next week. All depending on if Rob beats it, because he plays games like my grandma. Yep. Super slow. So that's the show. Also, cool news is we are on the top 300 gaming podcasts on iTunes, guys. So you guys are downloading the show on iTunes. And we are only 6 episodes, by the time this one gets posted, 7 in, which is incredible. You know, we haven't even been doing this technically for, like, more than a month and a half. So it's super cool that you guys are downloading the show. Then, you know, that's where most of the listens come from, is from iTunes, which is super cool. So keep downloading the show, and we're going to try to make it better every week. And we're going to aim for the top 100 gaming podcasts coming up soon. One day we will be the best goddamn gaming podcast on iTunes. But this is the only podcast where we will talk about candy bars, video games, and Las Vegas in the same podcast. If I'm a betting man, I would bet that you guys should come back and listen to next week's Bioshock Infinite podcast, because it's going to be incredible. Okay, I'm leaving.
Just okay, quit, get, just did Alex make his prediction this week? Did we get a prediction from Alex at all?
Oh, Alex, we always get a weekly prediction from Alex. You always say one thing that we turn into a weekly prediction for the website. So hit me something. What knowledge are you laying on us?
Oh, fuck. I'm going to bet that what came out.
How about that... ballpark us Injustice, sales-wise? Ballpark Injustice Gods Among Us sales.
I'm gonna bet that people aren't as excited as we are about Injustice, and the reviews might be as good, but it's gonna come out to be like, I would say it's gonna get around 1 million, maybe in its first month, I have a feeling it sells worse than the previous Marvel versus or DC versus Mortal Kombat.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Wow.
Whoa, that, you know that if this doesn't come to fruition, somebody comes over there with a cattle prod and stabs you with it, right?
I mean, like, it's going to be a good game. I have a feeling that, like, people are kind of holding on to their money because of the new consoles. So I have a feeling
that's a good prediction. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm looking at it from the fact that Mortal Kombat 9 was a great game. So people are like, oh, same guys that did Mortal Kombat 9? Okay. And because it sold well. Superheroes, people jizz all over the place for superheroes these days.
But if I said that, like, if you played this game 2 years ago, would you buy it?
Injustice?
Yeah.
No, because there wasn't a good enough fighting game until Mortal Kombat 9 came out, and then I was like, I like fighting games. I really like fighting games. So And if Mortal Kombat 9 didn't come out, I don't think I would have bought it. I bought Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and that was a mistake, because as soon as I got home from GameStop with it, Capcom emailed me and said, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is out. Awesome characters. So, yeah, as long as it's not Capcom and they're like, we're going to make a better game for half the price and give you 8 new characters a week later. Cool. I mean, I'm sure they'll make a Game of the Year edition, but, and I don't know. But yeah, okay, so under 1 million units in the first month for like, Justice Gods Among Us.
The thing is that, like, I just can't get over, like, how similar the two games are because, like,
oh, yeah, the same game.
You got the you got the Challenge Tower, the equivalents of that. You got the good story, but, like...
Well, they built an engine, so they're basically just plugging in DC characters with their engine and putting in environments.
Yeah, like, we all know that. Like, I would assume that Mortal Kombat has to be in development, and if it's not, then that's just poor management. But I just have a feeling that it's not going to sell what it what it's not going to hit those high marks that it's probably going to what it's achieving or trying to achieve. But I don't know what's a good number for a fighting game, but I think it's probably going to sell like 1.5 and then just go mediocre after better, that.
Yeah. Okay, so 1.5 over the first month?
Yeah, the first month.
Okay, 1.5 and Justice Gods Among Us first month. Alex picks them. Okay, again, thank you guys. We're going to try to end the show again right now because it didn't work the first time. So no. We're going to try to end it. So the show has ended. Go in peace. Yeah, see you guys next week. Bye.
Later.
User question.